mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. In Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul.
Well, good morning. I just thought before we begin today, just for those who have just arrived today, weren't here on Thursday and Friday, and just for the mutual encouragement of each other, what are some of the things we learned from God's Word? We looked at Peter on Thursday, Paul yesterday, and today we're turning to the lesser known of the three, Barnabas. But what did we learn from Peter in one of his first talks? Yeah, please. Yeah, courage, not bravado. And I sort of just, what was the difference I was describing? Yeah, before he'd seen the risen Christ, he had a lot of bravado. He wanted to be the tough guy, he wanted to be the one who followed Christ to the end. But after he'd encountered the risen Christ and his life transformed, he had real courage. And he turned and gathered disciples around to pray for courage. And courage, one of the quotes I've referred to was, courage is the testing point of every virtue. If you take everything that you want to make a stand for, take it to the point of testing, courage is whether you stand or not. And also, courage in one person stiffens the backs of those around them. What about Paul, the model of repentance? Anything jump out? Repentance, it means change of mind. Yep, I'll bring that up later, actually. That's good. Thanks, mate. Yeah?
And that actually when we preach the gospel, it's not just Jesus the Saviour and forgiveness, but actually Jesus the Saviour and Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, when Paul preached, repentance was part of the message. He actually spoke to people who weren't yet believers. He said, you must repent and turn to God and show your repentance by your deeds. And in fact, he even called. My favorite little verse was that one where King Agrippa said to him, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul said, short time or long, I pray to God not only that you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. And so when we call people to come back to God, we call them, when we call people to come to Christ, we're calling people to be what we are. Which means that we need to follow God in the way that we want other people to follow God. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the possibilities that today has. Father, as we look out and think of the things we're going to do, the fun we're going to have, the people we're going to talk to, the conversations, who knows, the person who might even come to Christ, the person who we might water that seed that's already been planted in someone else, that first seed that's been planted. Father, we pray for all these things. We pray for our teamwork together. Father, we pray for our proclaiming Christ. Father, pray in all this that we would be encouragers. We would strengthen one another in Christ's name. Amen. We'll play in the playing second fiddle. Peter Costello to John Howard. Dick Cheney to George W. Bert Newton to Graham Kennedy. Barbara Hershey to Bette Midler. Isn't that right? The Beaches? Okay, thank you. She was the wind beneath the wings and all that. Robin the Boy Wonder to the Cape Crusader. Friday to Robinson Crusoe. Adriana to John Burgess, thank you. And even Sergei Bresler have all played second fiddle. In fact, Sergei Bresler is one of the world's best second violinists in the world. Have you ever played second fiddle to someone? My guess is yes. It might have even happened sometime this week at the Ultimate Relationship Week, this week at Mission. What are some of the ways, call them out, what are some of the ways that you can sometimes play second fiddle? Support role. One of my kids' favourite movies, they call it Hero Support. I don't know if you've seen that movie. Obviously no one has. Sky High, thank you. You've got boys, that's right, yep. What are some of the ways, tell me, that we've done it even the last couple of days? Yeah, exactly. When you're visiting, when you're talking, people in the park, conversation stalls, sometimes one person sort of sits back and lets the other person do it. Yeah. Yeah. Same. Absolutely. Yeah. What else? Waitressing and waitering. Yep. Those things. Yep. Setting up events so that someone else can make it happen. Praying for someone else's friends, what they invite. Someone else brings some friends, you'll be the one talking to them. Whatever it is, there are lots and lots of ways. Is it noble to play second fiddle? Absolutely. And today we're thinking about a man with enormous ability, with great love, with great influence, with great leadership, and even with a great human presence that will come out today, who did not always take center stage. We've looked at Peter and Saul, and both have a story. Both of you hear what life was like before they came to know the risen Christ. And yet with this man Barnabas, he just appears on the scene as someone. You don't know. You don't know what happened to him before, but he's there from the very beginning. I'll just give you a bit of a brief feel of Barnabas in the book of Acts. He's there in chapter 4 giving money for the common cause of the disciples. He's there when Paul starts speaking. He trusts Saul and takes him under his wings. And he took Saul and introduced him to the 12 apostles. He's one of the leaders in Antioch. And I'll just point out where Antioch is. Antioch's right there. So Jerusalem's down here. Paul was on the road to Damascus there. And he's in Antioch. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Rome, Alexandria's down there. And then Antioch. And so a massive metropolitan city, Barnabas becomes one of the great leaders. He sought out Saul and brought him back to Antioch. In fact, Barnabas was entrusted to go around the whole, large parts of the Roman Empire to collect money for the poor people in Jerusalem. He was selected with Paul to be a missionary. He's accompanied Paul, Saul, who called himself Paul. He accompanied him preaching, planting churches. There was one time where people were, Paul and Barnabas are preaching. It's in Acts 4:10, you can look it up later. But they're preaching to the people and they start bowing down to them. You know, does anyone know from their Bible reading what they called Paul? They said Paul was like Hermes, like the messenger of the gods. But they said Barnabas, he was like Zeus himself. And so he was obviously a more commanding presence than Paul. He took Mark with him. John Mark, the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. But Mark left Paul and Barnabas. And Paul was one striker out. And Paul wouldn't take Mark back with him on his missionary journeys. But Barnabas saw something in Mark and took Mark with him. And it says in Acts 15, they had such a sharp disagreement, that is Paul and Barnabas, that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to his homeland of Cyprus. Besides Acts, he's mentioned in 1 Corinthians. He has the same financial policies as Paul. He's mentioned in Galatians. He's mentioned in Colossians. He was not born with the name Barnabas, but was given it as a badge of honour. Look in Acts. We'll get into Acts chapter 4 now. His generosity. Barnabas was born Joseph. We have that read, all the believers were one, Acts 4:32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed to have any possessions of his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them all. I mean, they were doing astonishing things, looking after the poor in ways that probably haven't happened up to that time or since. And yet the thing that they were proclaiming was not their new system of government, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed among them to all that had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles also called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned and brought it to the money and put it at the apostles' feet. He was generous. He had a field. I don't know if the field was in Cyprus or if it was in Israel itself. There's one odd thing and three impressive things about this. The odd thing, anyone's a Bible nerd out there? What's the odd thing about this? Joseph was a Levite. Wasn't meant to own land. He lived in Cyprus. He was meant to be near the temple if he was a true Levite. Maybe now selling his land is, and looking after the true temple of God, the church of God, he actually becomes the Levite that he was meant to be. Yeah, we'll leave that aside. Impressive things. First of all, he valued the financial needs of others than his own security. He had a land and he sold it. He also knew that he was going to receive greater rewards in the age to come. I mean, why else would you sell your land? Jesus said, whoever gives up houses, fields, and then you get the first person recorded in the Bible who actually gives up a field for the sake of Christ. He knew that the national state of Israel was not where it's at. I reckon this is one of the key verses for anyone who thinks that what they need to do is invest in the nation state of Israel. Because in the early church, those who had property in the nation state of Israel sold it to give to others. They knew that that was not where the future was, in the land. And so Christians, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, in America, should not think the future of this world relies in that land. Because a man like Barnabas knew that there was something else to come. And if you know what happens next, you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the people who deceive the apostles about the selling of land. You know that Barnabas stands as the first person who does it right, or the one that's mentioned who does it right. But the biggest thing I love about this part is he earned the name Barnabas. It says, they could have just called him Joseph, or I don't know, probably some nickname from, you know, Cypriot or something. But they said Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. I love that name. person's a daughter or son of encouragement. There's something in their character. They just go around encouraging people all the time. How is selling a field encouragement? Well, obviously he loved the people he was giving the money to. But he also encouraged them because he set his heart not on earth but on things above. I suppose it begs the question about us. We want to be sons and daughters of encouragement. I mean, I'd love to stand before God and earn the title Son of Encouragement. What about our generosity? What about our hope in heaven? Well, his work. We'll go to the second passage in Acts chapter 11 and see some of his work. People spread throughout the world. Acts 11, verse 19. Oh, it's wonderful that Peter's put the map up here. Thank you so much, mate. Not only put the fill, but the map, because that's what this story's about. He's playing second fiddle over the entire, over this part of the world. Acts chapter 11, verse 19 says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution and connected with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia." So Stephen was killed in Jerusalem, they up to Phoenicia. They traveled to Cyprus and the huge city of Antioch. When they arrived and saw evidence of the grace of God, there's a few Antiochs here, I'll skip the next one, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they didn't know the rules. And they went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The focus of all this was Antioch. Remember, it's the third largest city in the Roman Empire. The first big city to be captured by the gospel. And look at verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas. He was obviously so esteemed in Jerusalem that he was the person chosen to go and help them. And when he found them, he brought... And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. Oh, he might have seen some weird things going on. Some abuses. He might have seen them go a little bit too far but his first reaction was he's glad that they've got the grace of God. And he saw that God had actually changed them and was encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And see Barnabas' word, how true to his name. He was glad and encouraged them. It's almost like he's called the Son of Encouragement. He can't help but just be an encourager to hundreds and thousands of believers in Antioch. And it was nice, isn't it? And that's where they were first called Christians, in this metropolis of Antioch. We're actually going to skip down to point E now. I say one of the most liberating, if you weren't here yesterday, you'll just ignore this. One of the most liberating moments yesterday was Ed told me the talk had to be shorter. And so I just said, I just cut points B, C, D, and E or something out. And it was fantastic. It made the talk shorter and sharper. And just as a brief word, and maybe I should have cut this particular bit out, but when you write a Bible study or write a talk, finish it and then look back and say, I'm going to chuck half of it out. And you do that... It hurts, but it's the best thing you can do. Okay, but today I'm not cutting any points, I'm just going to skip ahead. Point E, following up new believers. Now, Barnabas certainly saw people come to know Christ. Verse 24 says, he was a good man. Well, that's an interesting thing. We often balk at expressions like that. What do you do with that? I thought we're all sinners and that kind of thing. And yet, they still feel confident enough to say he's a good man. You can ask a question about that if you want later. Full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I think it's because he just stood out amongst humans as someone who trusted in God. He did good things. He was kind. He was an encourager. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So he saw people come to know Christ. But one of the things he did was he looked after new believers. Not one or two, but hundreds, maybe thousands of new believers. I said yesterday how important this role is. Someone comes to Christ at scary times because There's so much, like, it's, you know that God's working, but there's a lot of issues to talk through. You often teach someone how to pray, how to read the word, how to think through decisions. I mean, there's issues that are raised, like, what do they do about the relationship they're in, and how to actually show repentance by their actions and not just by speech. How to trust Christ. When I was in year 12, I learned how to had a disciple, a younger Christian, younger believer. I had have you guys seen the Just for Starters studies? Absolutely fantastic studies. Takes you through, reminding, going over the basics. What is to be saved by God? What is to trust God? What is to live God's way? How to pray? How to read the Bible? What church is about? And all the way through. I mean, the method almost is the message. All the way through, it's just, what does the Word say? What does God's Word say? Read it. Don't add anything to it. And, you know, I was in year 12 and I was taught how to follow up with someone. I learned how to use these and it was fantastic. But the biggest thing I did was they encouraged me to actually disciple a year 7 guy. And so I used to meet him. I knew the family and stuff, but I'd meet him and we'd do a Bible study after school every week. And I was really bad at it. We'd sit there, go through the questions and ask him. He'd give me the question answer in straight away. And so we'd get through the studies in 5 minutes. We'd just stare at each other and not know what to do. And yet, saw this young guy grow up, become firm as a believer in Christ. Who's had someone follow them up, teach them how to read the Bible and how to pray, that kind of thing? Hands up, anyone? Some people? Who here has been able to do that for someone else? Some people? Yeah? Can I say, I wish there were more people trained in following up new believers. How would you do it? Well, you do a training, something like Just for Starters, learn how to do it. But more important is actually doing it. If I hadn't done it with Martin when I was year 12, and learning what it means to actually look after someone in Christ, I would never have done it. And so doing all the courses in the world, they're very, very helpful and equipping, but actually doing it. I suppose that's kind of what Barnabas did. He actually did it. Like verse 23, when he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God. And he might have just, okay, given the rubber stamp of approval, moved to the next place. These guys are all good. But he says no. And he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. His job wasn't finished. He's got his name to live out. He's got to encourage them to be true to the word of God. You know, maybe just do this now. Write someone down on the piece of paper if you're taking notes who you could encourage. Could be someone on this team. Could be someone in our church. It could be someone from another church. Could be someone who's just come to know Christ. Could be someone you brought along to the night with the Archbishop who you think has just made a decision for Christ. Now, what are you going to do? I want us to be Barnabases. Teach them how to relate to God, how to pray, how to read the Bible, but particularly to have this aim. When he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God and was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with their hearts. And yet it's not just the one-on-one, which I think is absolutely essential, and I want that culture. And that culture is strong here at church, but it could be stronger. It is also just the general word of encouragement around the place. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, I see it all the time. People have encouraged me, say the right word, the apt word. You see it on mission, people encouraging and strengthening each other. Not just in skills, but to stay true to God. Well, Peter pointed something out to me yesterday. He said, when we looked on Thursday, we looked at Peter's transformed courage. At Friday, we looked at repentance, which means change of mind. Paul's new mind. Today, we think of having a new heart. Has anyone drawn the connection? The Wizard of Oz? Okay. One of the things... it's so cute. That's so cool. That's so cool. I'm glad you didn't do pictures of the Wizard of Oz. Thank you. One of the things about Barnabas is he's an encourager, and he follows up, and he shows... He wants them to remain true to God. One of the other things he does is he trusts people. He shows a great deal of trust to other people. He brought the Christian killer to the disciples, Saul. He introduced him. I mean, most people were scared of going near the man, and yet Barnabas brought him to the disciples, we find out in Galatians. He even split up with Paul because he trusted Mark, and he wanted to take him with him. Maybe he trusts people too much. He sees the potential in those around him. He wants them to excel. I think if that's a character flaw, it's not a bad one in my books. I think one of the best things about mission is to... look what he does. He immediately, when he knows everything's going bumper in Antioch, where there's people coming to Christ, he's following up, encouraging them. What does he do? He doesn't think, oh, this is great, I can just do my own thing. He goes and grabs Paul from Tarsus and asks him to come and help him. He trusts him and knows that you actually need to grab other people to come and strengthen your work. And even though Paul was actually to become far greater than Barnabas was, I wonder, it just suits Barnabas' personality. He wouldn't care. Well, one of the best things about mission is when you see others exercise their gifts. You know, when you see that person, you think, that person can do something I don't even know how to do. I can't do that. And one of the best things to do, and kind of a thing to learn from Barnabas, is trust people and let them, give them opportunities to outstrip you, to do better than you can possibly do. It's one of the things in mission. We want to encourage people to use their gifts. I mean, it's one of the things. I know that in Morning Church, for instance, in Andale Community Church, I know one of my areas of massive, massive weakness is some of the sort of the daily administration stuff, right? You know, it's not that important, is it? If you agree with me, then you're one of those people like me. You know, you think it's not that important, right? Okay. But Jen, where's Jen? Jen Lamb's around somewhere. Jen helps me so much. Thank you, Jen. she could do things I can't do. I don't even know how she does it. I don't know how she cares so much about it, but she does. And she makes it beautiful. And that's the kind of thing that Barnabas does. He grabs someone who's so good, like, and he says, come and help me. Well, the source of your power, won't dwell too long on this, although it's an amazing point. Verse 24, he was like Christ. He was good man, full of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that indwelt Christ all throughout his ministry and still indwells him now. Is the Spirit that indwelled Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people brought to the Lord. And I just want to finish on his nickname. He had a nickname that was a badge of honor. Okay, I'll start off by saying he played second fiddle. He was born Joseph, renamed Barnabas. What an amazing badge of honor. What a thing to aspire to. I spoke to those at my Bible study at Dorothea's, and were saying, and that's something you can be, a Barnabas, an encourager. Been times when people have been sons of encouragement to me, when someone's grabbed me, often Ed does it, and he says, Andrew, just puts his hands on my shoulder and prays for me. Or even people make comments of encouragement, strength, you know. Even some people, when the way they write their emails, even if there's something they're saying, I didn't quite agree with you on that point, but the way they write it is just so encouraging. There's been those who backed the ministry in many ways that have been massive sons and daughters of encouragement financially back the ministry. Just like Barnabas, that's one of the first things he did. Those who pray. There's someone here who told me a while ago that I'm on their prayer list. Dominic and I and Kath and the other leaders here, I'm on a prayer list and they pray for us weekly. And what an encouragement to know that people are praying for you. There are those who have been encouragement to you. Time here, the words they've said, the little things, the way that they've been generous. I mean, we can all testify that when things have gone wrong, it's wonderful when people gather together and make a meal for someone, or people write a letter of encouragement, or just send an email or an SMS, and having prayers for one another, we can be sons and daughters of encouragement. What's the aim? To encourage people to be true to the Lord with all of our hearts. Well, there are opportunities right now. There are opportunities at church. And I'll tell you what. Under God's hand, maybe there'll be opportunities to be following up new believers. How are we going to do it? I think we better wrap up now, but if you want to come up to me and you'd like to be to learn how to do a follow-up with a new believer, I think we need to actually run a course. I could run it even better if someone here who's had experience doing it would volunteer to run a course on how to follow up new believers and enable people, equip people to actually do it. Then come and speak to me today. That might be an application for someone in this room. But we need to love that name, Barnabas, son of encouragement. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Peter. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for Barnabas. We thank you that even though he wasn't always at the main front of everything that went on in the early church, he was there through so much of it, through Peter's ministry, through Paul's ministry. And he was there in the background making things happen. He had ability, and yet he often played second fiddle. He trusted people. He brought people around. He brought witnesses to his own island of Cyprus and set up churches there. Father, we thank you so much for his example. Father, thank you for those who have been sons and daughters of encouragement to us. We just mention someone by name in your heart to God. So many, Lord. And Father, we pray that we would be able to be that for someone else. Let's pray for that person we wrote down. And Father, we pray for our church that we would be encouraging, rejoicing, and encouraging people to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I won't take questions because we're running a bit behind. So, but if you have any, but please keep talking about the applications of this today. That'd be great.